This is The Takeout.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
With Major Garrett.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
At this defining moment, change has come to America.
And we will make America great again.
Guess what, kids? This is what we're not going to be.
Quiet, quiet, quiet.
No, President Trump, that's not what's going to happen. I'm Major Garrett, the host of the Takeout Podcast. Welcome to Episode 5, and let me tell you something. I hate the word transparency. I'm just going to be honest with you. Transparency carries all these political aspects and ramifications. What does it mean? I'm just going to tell you the truth. It's Thursday night. This is not our plan. Our plan was to have lunch with Congressman Joe Crowley, Democrat of New York, specifically Queens. Then the president had a surprise news conference, and it blew the entire day up. Joe Crowley couldn't be with us at any other time but lunch. So for the first time in my life, your humble host stood up a member of Congress for a lunch date. It's actually kind of cool. So we are recalibrating. We're changing things up just ever so slightly from our original schedule, and I'm telling you, it's going to work out great because we have a double lawyer, Paula Reed, who works for CBS, and an actual football player and a terrific correspondent, Jeff Pegues, the Homeland Security correspondent for CBS News. I'm delighted you are joining us.
Touchdown.
There we
boom,
go.
Boom.
The president knows. He knows from Jeff Pegues and Paula Reed. So before we get into the news of the week and the news of everything, teeny bit of bio. Paula Reed, tell us just a teeny bit about yourself.
Well, when I was in law school, I realized that I didn't really like practicing, but I loved telling stories about the crazy stuff that happened in court. And then I saw a woman by the name of Jan Crawford give a speech. I read her books, and I said, I want to do what she does. She's amazing. And so after law school, I clerked, worked for a year, and then I got an internship at CBS in New York. But I lived in Philly, so I started taking the bus and eventually went from intern to reporter.
And when I said double lawyer, that means you have passed the bar exam in two states
yes.
in our republic. Which are they?
Pennsylvania and the lovely state of New Jersey, the Garden State.
Outstanding. Jeff Pegues, a little bit about who you are.
Well, you know, you were too kind to call me a football player because that was...
I've seen the pictures.
Yeah, from a long time ago, Major. That was probably, well, almost... Well, more than two decades ago and probably 20 pounds ago. But thank you, sir. I really appreciate it. Jeff Pegues, let's see. I've been
football tucked under arm, eye black, gridiron, right. Fans in the stands. Legit enough for me.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. That, you know, sometimes those were the days, the heyday. But being a correspondent for the CBS Evening News, that's... You know, that's pretty good, too, especially considering I was someone who went to college pre-med, if you believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that that was not the route for me.
One similarity to being a wide receiver for the University of Miami at Ohio, is that correct?
Miami of Ohio, yes. Miami University of Ohio.
One similarity between being a wide receiver there and working for the CBS Evening News, in both respects, in both jobs, you have to keep your head on a swivel.
Oh, that's right.
Ain't that right?
Oh, that's right.
Ain't that right?
Yeah.
Now, Paula Reed, Jeff Pegues, they're our guests for this episode, episode 5. As always, we are joined on this humble audio odyssey by my friend, colleague, and sidekick, the political editor of CBS News, Steve Shigaris. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Major.
All right, let's try to unravel, if we can, or illuminate the news of the week, which has a lot to do with matters of intelligence, the intelligence community. What does it do? How does it do it? Is it done it the correct way? The law, legalisms. Is somebody in trouble? Is someone not in trouble? So, Jeff, let me start with you.
Yes.
There has been, for many Americans, a concentrated conversation for the better part of two or three weeks about the intelligence community and its relationship to the 45th president of the United States, Donald Trump. If you were to try to separate the wheat from the chaff, the important from the not important, help us begin that process.
Well, the relationship is strained right now. You know, following President Trump and covering the intelligence community, in the first week or so, I thought, okay, it seems to be improving. But now, are we 3 weeks in or is it a month?
Almost a month.
All right. You know, it feels like it's going back to what it was during the campaign when President Trump was reluctant to criticize Russia for the cyber attacks, when so many people in the GOP certainly and Democrats were critical of the Russians and Vladimir Putin because there was the intelligence conclusion that the Russians had tried to influence the election, right, with these waves of cyber attacks.
And by hacking into the Democratic National
Party. By hacking into the Democratic Party officials' computer network and then taking some of what they got from those systems and then disseminating it, which we had heard from the CIA director that this was what the Russians do, and that was as early as August, September time frame, so that the intelligence community knew what was coming from the Russians. So the relationship between the Trump campaign and the intelligence community, and specifically based on some of the things that candidate Trump was saying about the intelligence community, the relationship was not good. Afterward, thought it was going to get better. Now it seems like it's going back to what it was, which is interesting at this time because we're into this administration now. It is important for any president to have a good, trusting relationship with the intelligence community.
And continuing on that line, Jeff, there are published reports which the president today in his East Room press conference, I'm talking about Thursday, about the intelligence community withholding information from the president of the United States. Where are we?
Well, listen, there was pushback from the intelligence community. That's not the case. But just that story is out there does not.
And it was in the Wall Street Journal.
Exactly. It does not look good for the administration. There are some people in the intelligence community who are concerned about some of the information related to this investigation being suppressed.
Which investigation?
The investigation into whether Trump campaign officials were coordinating with the Russians.
Doing any kind of shady business at
anything.
All. At any level.
There are
There's a lot of smoke around that. We don't have a big burning fire or even a smoldering fire, but there's certainly smoke.
Well, and I've been talking to sources in the intelligence community for several months. And what was striking about this story in particular is that as we were getting into fall, and really even over the summer, there were people who were saying at the time to me, this is incredible. Can't believe this is happening. So there are people in the law enforcement intelligence community who have been concerned about this for some time. Yes, there were a lot of people who thought that Hillary Clinton was going to be the next president. And then when Donald Trump won, the dynamic changed. And there was this, you know, according to some of the people that I was talking to, there was this pressure building to make sure that the story got out. Right? There was a lot of concern from some of the sources that I've spoken with about information being suppressed. And that's kind of what we're seeing right now with
there's this
the
tension.
Leaks.
The tension.
Leaks. It's coming
the,
out. It's
the,
coming out.
Leaks, which
and you're hearing it from former and current officials. So it's coming out. It's coming out now because there is a concern that the administration will try to suppress the information from coming out. So that's the pressure that you're seeing now releasing.
Steve,
so how much of this do you think is political and in retaliation, perhaps, for the kinds of things that Trump has said about the intelligence community over the last several months? And how much of it is just this sort of release of pressure of people who are really just interested in getting this out there? Either way, there's that question. And then the other question is, what credence are you giving and what do people in the intelligence community say about the idea that this stuff shouldn't be leaked at all?
Well, let me answer the first question. This is the type of story where there is no doubt politics is at play here.
President said so in his press conference. It's Obama administration holdovers or people that are doing this.
And that is true to a certain extent.
Well, that's right. Okay, that's the question.
That is true to a certain extent because I think with any administration, when you change administrations and it goes from one party to another, there is always going to be that tension. But this is a little different because of the circumstances surrounding the election with the cyber attacks.
But these are career people, right? They're not necessarily political people, right? And so I guess the question is this proper?
Or think about it this way. Some of these leaks are coming from some people are law enforcement, some people in the intelligence community, some people on Capitol Hill. So they're coming from different areas and people with different motives. But there are those who feel that by leaking the information, it's more of a whistleblower status in their view. Because in their view, they're doing the right thing and they... You know, they're the type of people who feel, well, if I don't say something and this continues, that's not right.
Where do we land? Paul, I want to ask you, what are the legal implications of these threads?
Mm-hmm.
The president said at his East Room press conference, I've instructed my attorney general to go after this. These are criminal acts and we're going to be on it. And then the larger legal threads that sort of are in and around this story?
Well, first of all, that's not the way it usually works. Usually the White House doesn't come and order the Department of Justice to conduct criminal investigations. Usually it's the agency whose stuff was mishandled that they make a report and it gets investigated. So that was a little unusual, but something that was promised on the campaign trail. He said he was going to use the Department of Justice to go after people, specifically Hillary Clinton at the time, but now it's leakers. And then I think in terms of the legal ramifications, you have two categories. You have the leakers and you have the liars. It would appear that if there are so many different versions of Michael Flynn's story, for example, someone somewhere is probably going to lie to the FBI, which people forget is a crime. You can lie to your friends, you can lie to the media, but you can't lie to the FBI. So someone somewhere along the line is likely, possibly, going to be charged with lying to the feds. And then, of course, there's anyone who mishandles or actually leaks classified information. There are various different criminal charges, depending on who you are and what you leaked and how you leaked it.
Excellent. Now, before we go to break, which we have to do right now, because we are having dinner, and we're having dinner at what I like to think about as our home base for this podcast, The Takeout, Maywa in downtown D.C., we're going to go around the table and order. And if you've listened before, you know what I'm going to order. General Tso's chicken for me, please. Paula?
I'm going to have the Mongolian beef, please.
Ooh. Shaggy? Because Jeff is looking.
Jeff is still looking.
Jump right
looking.
Into the fray, Shaggy.
I mean, it's a
jump
Chinese
into the
restaurant,
fray.
Jeff. Come
jump
on.
Into the fray.
Never ordered
Chinese.
I'm on a diet. Okay,
jump into the fray.
Okay, well, I'm going to go. I'm going to get the steamed chicken with asparagus, white sauce on the side, and brown rice. I know, I'm high maintenance.
The beef is
okay,
Pagaz,
you've got 14 seconds.
It is
you
high maintenance.
You have 14 seconds.
All right.
He knows what he wants.
Sautéed assorted vegetables. That's pretty boring.
Really?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I think you have a sound effect for that.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry.
It's the dinner hour.
Is that what you ate at Miami
I'll
University?
I'll give you some of my beef.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to get back to that.
There we go.
Playing weight.
And you're listening to The Takeout.
I have nothing to do with Russia. I told you. I have no deals there. I have no anything. Now, when WikiLeaks, which I had nothing to do with, comes out and happens to give, they're not giving classified information. They're giving stuff what was said in an office about Hillary cheating on the debates.
I have nothing to do with. I have nothing to do with. I have nothing to do with. That's the President of the United States. And I guess he has nothing to do with some of these central stories that he suggested at his East Room press conference is a kind of obsession for the political media. One, he said, distracts the country from all the accomplishments, the fine-tuned machinery of his White House. We're here on The Takeout, Episode 5 at Maywa Restaurant in downtown D.C. with my CBS News colleagues Jeff Pagaz and Paula Reed. The reason, we're going to get back to Joe Crowley. He was our guest in waiting this week, but because of the Trump press conference, everything got sort of scrambled. And I guarantee you, Congressman Crowley, and I know you are listening, we will reset that date at the Irish Times, a great Irish restaurant here in Washington, D.C., in the near future. In the meantime, Paula, you said something that was just great a minute ago. It's about the leakers and the liars. Do you feel, based on your experience and what you're seeing, that come 6 months from now, a year from now, there's going to be headlines about either leakers or liars, or this is going to be kind of a waterspout that grabs attention now and fades away?
No, it's not going to fade. It's not going to fade anywhere, right? We're watching it. We will watch it and report on it just as aggressively as we did the Hillary Clinton email investigation. There are a lot of parallels there. There's a lot of smoke, not so much fire. And I always thought during that investigation, the evidence looked like classified information was not mishandled, but you always thought somebody was going to get tripped up and say the wrong thing, say something incorrect to the feds and get you charged for that because they did want to hold someone accountable. So no, I don't think this is going anywhere, but if I had to place bets on who's going to be charged with what, somebody could likely be charged with lying to the FBI before I think someone will be successfully prosecuted for mishandling or leaking information. Because as aggressive as the Obama administration was about that, it's not that easy to find these people and prosecute them.
Let me throw a question at you, Paula, that has a political context around it, but it is actually a matter of law. And I'm not asking you to adjudicate the law, but I'm asking for your general opinion about it. Robbie Mook, the former campaign manager for Hillary Clinton, says, wait a minute. With all of this supposed evidence about campaign contacts between those who worked on behalf of then-candidate Trump and the Russians, why wasn't there a letter issued to the relevant congressional committees, as there was by the director of the FBI, James Comey, about the private email server and elements of that investigation?
That is a question that will be asked through the rest of history. And what's so amazing is the Comey letter was sent because he was afraid of leaks. FBI Director Comey, when they found those emails on Anthony Weiner's computer, and they thought, you know, we need to review these to make sure they are or are not connected to the server, there's a little bit of bad blood between the FBI here, the Department of Justice here, and their counterparts in New York. And there were concerns
what
that there would be leaks.
What counterparts in New York?
The Southern District of New York. For anybody who watches Billions, they'll be familiar with that. Or if you cover DOJ like I do, you'll know there's a little bit of bad blood between the Southern District of New York and Maine Justice. And same can be said, too, for the FBI offices in New York, who are also involved in that investigation. And the FBI director, we were told, was concerned that it would leak out, that new emails had been found. And so many people were so confused about that investigation and which emails and the civil lawsuits and the criminal law. It just would have been terrible for the optics for the FBI, which a lot of people believe is the reason that letter was sent proactively to protect the integrity of the FBI, which is amazing because some people argue that that letter cost her the election. So now we're talking
and
about
then compromise the integrity of the FBI.
Exactly.
That's what many Democrats would say and have said.
And that is what makes FBI Director Comey's decisions from the time he concluded the investigation into Hillary Clinton's use of a private server so controversial because they were unprecedented. And Jeff and I have both been told numerous times what we were supposed to do. It was unprecedented, but they did things that have never been done. And the question is, well, and we've asked them, will you now have to do this for everyone else of that profile?
And Jeff, I want to ask you this sort of basic question, but I think it helps illuminate a lot of these issues for our audience. And our dinner has arrived because Maywa, man, they sling the hash quickly.
They're fast.
Do I get to eat before?
Of course, we eat during the podcast. And delighted to do so.
I'm going
to
give you some of my
vegetables.
Beef.
Will be consumed.
Are they here? Where are my steamed vegetables?
They're still steaming.
Oh, we have to crowdsource some protein for him.
But here's the question, Jeff. Yes. As the wonderful dinner is brought around the table. My General Tso's chicken looks as good as ever. The fact of the matter is, when people in our audience hear intelligence community, what they should think about is vast troves of information that flow through it every single day. And as that information flows, is it not true that there is sort of a signature decision made almost hour by hour what to do with this information, how to process it, and which file cabinet to put it in, if you will? Publicly? privately to the principal, bury it, etc., etc. Help our audience try to wrap its arms around the information flow and the various decisions relevant to it.
Well, you know, anyone who's seen a movie, and I'm trying to think about a movie where they have portrayals of the...
We'll get to movies later, Jeff.
That's
you
coming up later,
right? You
have
listened to this podcast before.
The CIA works really hard at making sure that Hollywood has an accurate portrayal of their business, what they do. And so many of the movies that you see are close to reality in that, you know, they have incredible technology that they can use to gather information. And what is interesting these days is that, you know, back in the decades ago, it was spy to spy. Now technology is a major factor in how they gather information. And that's why, you know, when you talk about this investigation, it does not take much for the Russians to eavesdrop on a conversation.
Right.
They have technology that is just remarkable. And then you talk to anyone who has studied their tactics, they are considered to be ruthless in terms of gathering information. They are very good at what they do. And I think no matter who you talk to in the intelligence agency, they will tell you that, that the Russians are incredibly adept at gathering information. I have my steamed vegetables.
Oh, look at that. Lovely.
Hey,
wow.
Like
you're
going to
really
healthy.
Weight eating they are, that.
They are, oh, my God. Just bright, looking at it, I'm losing weight.
Bright and fresh and crunchy and absolutely deplorable.
Oh, they look
the worst.
Yes, I'm sorry, guys.
The worst. If I could quote our president, just
grab
the
some
worst.
Broccoli off.
You want some of our broccoli?
I want you to have some of this. This is really good.
Failing
my fried
pile of garbage.
But God, to your question, it is remarkable the technology that is out there these days and what these agencies can do to gather information. And that's why this story has fascinated me almost since we found out about it. And I think that was it June, July, during the, I think we were in Philly, so that was the Democratic National Convention. And that's when this story really started bubbling to the surface. And, you know, it is fascinating that, according to U.S. intelligence agencies and law enforcement, the Russians were able to do what they did and then disseminate the information and use it targeting certain entities that they did not like. It is remarkable. And that's the difference. You know, anybody in intelligence will tell you that the Chinese, they gather the information and store it. Now, the Russians have... Because there's a Russian playbook for these cyber attacks, they gather the information and then they disseminate. That's what they do. And that's why U.S. intelligence has known for some time that this was the Russians. This is what they do. They did in Ukraine. Now there are U.S. intelligence agencies, law enforcement agencies, helping allies to guard against this in these upcoming elections. So this is something that the Russians are known for. But we also know that the American intelligence agencies have capabilities of their own that are pretty good.
Steve Shigaris.
So we've graduated from decoder rings. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I just want to ask one question, though, about the news conference, the Trump news conference. What did you, each of you, hear today that either raised red flags, that just stood out to you as something that we're going to be talking about in terms of intelligence, in terms of the legal part of this for the coming weeks?
Well, I thought he was, you know, he keeps trying to talk about the leaks. What was his line? He says the news is fake, but the leaks are
real.
The leaks are real. Right. And the thing is, the FBI, the Department of Justice, they only investigate leaks or mishandling classified information if it's true. They're not going to investigate something that is false. So we clearly know that these leaks, the information coming out, it is valid. It is legitimate. And that was a confirmation.
I mean, the president verified
that
exactly. stuff in public. It was amazing.
So that was what's really struck me.
Jeff?
What struck me is that, you know, the cyber attacks weren't really talked about, acknowledging that this is something that the Russians were doing.
And shouldn't have done, and I'm angry about it, or whatever.
Meanwhile, they're meeting today, or on the day of the press conference, they were meeting with the general, actually, who was the mastermind behind these types of cyber attacks.
The Russian general.
The Russian general, Valery Gerasimov.
Right.
Exactly. He was meeting with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. And so that, I think, was surprising to me. But also the denials. He called the investigation a ruse, a scam, a joke was thrown around.
Right.
It's not a joke. I mean, this is serious stuff.
Thank you, Jeff. This is The Takeout. We're at Maywall Restaurant in downtown Washington, D.C. Our food has arrived. All I need is another gin and tonic, and we will take you to break on that note.
The public doesn't believe you people anymore. Now, maybe I had something to do with that. I don't know.
Failing pile of garbage.
I'm going to disambiguate that for you, ladies and gentlemen. That's a Wikipedia word, which I've learned over time. Major Garrett here. You're listening to The Takeout and having a wonderful time doing so. We're at Maywall Restaurant in downtown D.C., joined by Jeff Begays, our Homeland Security correspondent for CBS News, and Paula Reed, our legal correspondent, along with Jan Crawford at CBS News. Oh, and my gin and tonic has arrived just on cue.
Number
Isn't
two.
That spectacular?
Gin and tonic number two, but who's counting?
Yes, we'll be getting to 20 before the end of this week. The president made a comment, and it was a big part of the press conference, and we're diving into that because it was a major presidential event. Let's not kid ourselves. About what's wrong with the media, why it's dishonest, why it's a special interest group in Washington, D.C., intentionally oriented toward thwarting his agenda and denying the people who voted for Donald Trump what they sought from his presidency in the first place. My colleague, Steve Shigaris, has a riff on this. And for the first time in the history of this podcast, Steve Shigaris, riff away.
Hot take. I was thinking about this as I was watching Trump and watching Twitter flame like a bonfire today. And it's just interesting to me, and you should be, I'm sure it's interesting to you, Major, and our producer, Arden Fari, who's watched this man as a candidate and now as president for almost 2 years. It should not be much of a surprise to people, his demeanor today at this news conference. This is classic Donald Trump. And I think what we saw today, I guess people maybe expected a different person now that he's president of the United States and he's standing in the East Room giving this news conference, yet it wasn't. It was classic Trump. And I, to me, what I saw was the entertainer, the performer, Donald Trump, the Donald Trump we saw in The Apprentice, the Donald Trump who's friends with Vince McMahon, the head of the founder of WWE, whose wife was just confirmed as the Small Business Administrator. And what he's doing is he's seeing the storyline that he believes is created, like it is in wrestling, like it is in reality TV, spiral a little bit out of control for him. It has not been a good 4 weeks for him at the beginning of his administration. So what do? You come in and you reset the storyline. You come in aggressively and confidently and tell everybody, not only am I doing everything correctly, but the reason why it sounds like I'm not doing everything correctly is because here are my enemies, the media, the courts,
The Democrats,
the intelligence community, you name it. There's a list of enemies. And he does this with a wink and a nod, but he also does it with some intensity like you would if you were, say, the CEO on The Apprentice, or like you would if you were a wrestler in the ring on WWE. And I just think that what we're seeing is a performance. Now, this is not an endorsement of how to govern.
Or necessarily a condemnation.
Whatever.
It's just an observation.
This is just what we're seeing. And whether it works or not remains to be seen. We're 4 weeks into an administration of which we have not seen the likes of, I think, ever. And we will see if this performer, this entertainer, can actually govern this country. But this is what we should not be shocked that this is what we're seeing.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was a riff, courtesy of Steve Shigaris.
Hot take.
Paula Reed and Jeff Begays, my CBS colleagues, not usual suspects. I just want to add that, ladies and gentlemen. They are not usual suspects. They are esteemed and treasured colleagues.
Thank you.
I'm asked this question all the
Major,
time.
Major, fantastic.
Thank you, Mr. President. One more time.
Major, fantastic.
I never tire of hearing that. Ever, ever, ever. I'm asked this question all the time. Major, what do you make of all these attacks on you in the media? So I'm really tired of answering that question. Paula, I want you to answer it, and then Jeff, I want you to answer that.
What do we make the attacks on you, or what do we make the attacks on us?
On reporters generally.
We're okay with the attacks on Major.
So totally okay with that.
No, you've always been good to me. I won't stand for that. There is a group in this country that they're upset at all institutions. That's the institutions here in Washington. That's the media. They're just sort of upset. I mean, it's not that hard to go on Twitter and find somebody who's mad at you or mad at the world or wants to say nasty things. It doesn't get me too worked up, because the reason they found me is because they were either on CBSNews.com or watching CBSN or looking for some sort of court documents.
I think we have a sound effect for that, don't we? Ding.
Bing, 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 bing. That was good.
Jeff?
Well,
there we go.
Thank you.
That's what I was looking for.
I like that one. Listen, I have followed Donald Trump since the 80s. You remember Donald Trump, the New Jersey Generals owner?
Yes. We've discussed that on this podcast.
Right?
I was
growing up in Connecticut, and I played high school football. And
you a fan of the Generals?
I was a fan of the Generals. He brought in Herschel Walker.
Doug Flutie.
He brought in Doug Flutie, and he was trying to take on the NFL. So I followed his career, followed Mr. Trump around with Sarah Palin around New York one interesting day several years ago now. And he stops as they come out of this pizza restaurant, and he says hi to me. I watch you all the time. I was on a local station in New York at the time. I've been there for about 7 or 8 years.
Which station? Name it, please.
WABC.
Oh, wait a minute. Can we edit that out?
We might have to edit that out.
Wait a minute. That's the wrong corporation, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I'm sorry. You made me do that. Okay.
Bing.
But,
beak.
You know, it just reminds me. Golly, can I stop getting buzzed? Binged? What do you call it here on the takeout?
I got binged. You got
love.
Buzzed.
That's what we call
it.
Love.
They're giving me love. But, you know, listen, he watches a lot of TV.
Television.
And if you look back, it was the media that sort of built his career, built him into the brand name that he is. He is used, managed his image through the media by paying attention to what people are saying about him. And so he has this love-hate tension with the media. But he knows how important it is. He knows how important it is. I truly believe that.
I mean, I think he is the first president as familiar with and actually legitimately capable of dissecting the media and its biorhythms as any previous American president.
No question.
Yeah, it's remarkable. And he's written that. He's been riding that wave. He's been riding that wave the whole way through.
Okay, let's have some fun. Because what we do on this podcast over dinner, and because it's dinner, not lunch, there are drinks involved. Let's have some fun about music we love, movies we love. And sometimes I get this kind of genre-specific. I'm not going to do that. It's your whole rainbow. Mm. What music do you love? What movies do you love? Paula?
My favorite movie is A League of Their Own. Because
great Penny Marshall.
Absolutely. Lots of great women in that movie, because it's nice to see history through the eyes of women, young women. So that's one of my favorites. And for country and for music, country music from the 80s and 90s.
Give us some artists.
Sure,
Newton,
yeah,
what are we talking about?
We're talking about Travis Tritt. We're talking about Garth Brooks, Reba McEntire. I mean, in their prime, the 80s and 90s.
Billy Ray Cyrus?
I mean, I'll take it, but not one of like the class of '89.
Not an
exactly,
excess,
no.
Right.
Not an Alan Jackson, not a Travis Tritt, Randy Travis. Seen them all in concert.
Wow,
they're awesome.
You're from Massachusetts.
I know, but I spent my summers in Georgia, so got a little
well,
exposure.
There you go. Because I don't think there was country music in Massachusetts when we were growing up.
No, there was like one station, and my dad would always find it. And
so
I
let
made
me
fun
ask
of
you,
him, but secretly I loved it.
Let me ask you about League of Their Own. It's a great baseball movie.
Mm-hmm.
MLB Network plays it with regularity, and as it should. Is it about baseball, or is it about women's empowerment? Is it about something that is historic but forgotten? What is it?
It's seeing history. You know, how many World War II movies have been made, but through the eyes of women who would have been about my age, I guess, now. But even as a kid, it wasn't lost on me that, oh, wow, they had stories, too.
Right.
And it's such a well-told story.
So are you Gina Davis? Are you Madonna? Are you...
I'm probably definitely a Gina Davis.
There you go. Jeff Begays. Music and movies.
Movies, American Gangster.
Yikes.
Bring I'm a big in. Denzel fan, I got. Bring I have to in. Admit, Training Day. Music, and this may surprise you, I'm a rap guy. I'm sorry.
But what generation of rap?
Demore Smith, who was on episode 2, and you all remember episode 2, is an 80s rap guy. He started with Sugar Hill Gang, and I said, Dr. Dre, and he's like, yeah, and that was sort of where we ended it.
Yeah, Dr. Dre is classic. I mean, he would, you know, if he turned out more music now and more than just headphones and everything else that he's into, I think he'd have a lot of hits now. I think, you know, Jay-Z, I'm a fan of Jay-Z.
Where do you come down on Eminem?
I like him. Oh yeah, oh yeah. He can rap. I was trying to be cool and say, don't they say spit or something? What do they say?
I expected.
I was trying to be cool. My wife tells me, and my kids tell me, don't be cool.
I expected a more '80s vibe from you, actually, Jeff.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's your generation, isn't it?
It is. But I, you know, for some reason,
was there ever any music before a game that you? A football game because you are a genuine football player.
What position, well, by the way? Tell us what position you play.
I was a wide receiver. So, but you know, Major, back in that day,
right.
we had the big headphones.
Right. A big awkward one.
Did you have a cassette Walkman?
Yes. Right. A cassette Walkman.
Right. Yes. Was there anything that you had to drill down on before game time back then?
Well, you can't really get hyped up with a cassette Walkman.
It's a little difficult. Right?
Fast forward.
it's a little difficult.
Rewind.
It's not as cool as today. I mean, you see these guys walking in today. They got the wireless headphones, you know. Back in the day, it just wasn't as cool. And that was also the time of the Jerry curls and everything else. It just wasn't as cool back in
the day.
Okay,
we have boundaries here at the Takeout Podcast.
Did I just cross it with a Jerry Curl?
Definitely crosses those
boundaries.
Too
bad this is not a visual broadcast.
Oh,
I would love to see some of those photos, Jeff.
Oh, no. We buried those. But I had my Michael Jackson phase. I got to be honest.
All right. We're going to head out of town. Not literally, but figuratively for this episode. Episode 5 of the Takeout. We're so delighted you joined us. I'm so thankful that you have brought this podcast into your life, and you have rated us on iTunes. We have new episodes of the podcast are available, as you know, but just to remind you, every Friday mornings. And I personally invite you to subscribe, especially rate, and comment on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. This is the obligatory social media script I read, kids, just so you know. Go to takeoutpodcast.com. Please, I beg of you, follow us and like us. I mean, really like us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. At Takeout Podcast. That's at Takeout Podcast. Hate the show, love the show. Hate me, love me. Trust me, I've had it all. Takeout Podcast at CBSNews.com. That's where you can send us emails, which we absolutely will read. Not on the show, but we'll just read. I'm Major Garrett, joined by Steve Shigaris, my beloved and cherished colleagues from CBS News, Jeff Begays and Paula Reed.
Thank you. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for having us.
You are listening and have been listening to The Takeout.
The Takeout is produced by Arden Farhi, Nick Feynman, and CBS Radio News. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and visit takeoutpodcast.com for more information.
Quiet, quiet, quiet.